There's not a lot of documentation of Jesus' time on earth. There's no eyewitness accounts. Most of it was oral tradition handed down until it was written almost 70 years past his death. We know he was born in Palestine under Roman rule. At the time Jesus lived, there were many going around preaching, healing, teaching, who claimed to be the Messiah that was promised in the Hebrew Scriptures, the one who would liberate the Jewish people. Jesus had a very political ministry. We know this by the context in which he lived and the things that he said, preaching the power of love, the power of nonviolence. He used clever parables to teach people in a way that masked the real intention of his message. He angered those in authority, both the temple leaders in the Jewish community and the Romans, who had a careful eye on those who would cause trouble and challenge their authority. Jesus was a revolutionary, guilty of the charge that the Roman Empire named for him, and was crucified and died, killed by the empire. His followers kept his message alive for decades and ultimately centuries after his death. And the story of this powerful teacher, healer, and revolutionary has come down to inspire us today. I was taught a very different message about Jesus in the church of my childhood. The church where my parents drove me to, dropped me off, and picked me up afterwards every Sunday. I was told that God had sent Jesus to die for my sins, and that because Jesus had died for me, as long as I believed in him, I would have eternal life. The problem was, I didn't believe in him. And I thought the whole setup was not quite right. If God was in charge of everything, why did he have to come up with this plan to make Jesus die in such a horrible way? And for something that I had done? I can remember thinking, as a child, I didn't ask him to die for my sins. I felt confused. And I felt shut out of the powerful story of Jesus. I was always relieved on Easter when church was over and we could get on with the Easter egg hunt and the ham dinner. So in honor of that little girl who was confused and shut out, I want to revisit the Easter story today from a different perspective, and bring forth some of its power that I think is important for us today. Now, I know it's hard for some people to open their hearts to this story. We have a wide, diverse theologies in our congregation. Some people had a religious upbringing similar to mine and shut out that part of their life. Some people have an aversion to the contemporary Christian message. I get it. I've been there. My re-engagement with Jesus came through the writings of Marcus Borg, who I highly recommend for anybody who wants to re-engage. His book, Meeting Jesus Again for the First Time, was a powerful, transformational book for me. He talks about two versions of Jesus: the man who lived and died, the teacher and the radical, and the Jesus Christ, who some believe was resurrected and sits at the right hand of God. These two versions of Jesus also represent the two main ministries that laid claim to Jesus' legacy after his death. The first was dedicated to his life and teachings, and the second was dedicated to the meaning of his death. After Jesus' death, his followers, led by his brother James, carried on his message of radical love and revolution against the empire. Their ministry was primarily to the Jews living in the Holy Lands of Jerusalem and its surroundings. When the Romans destroyed the temple, the Jews dispersed about 40 years after Jesus' death, and the movement dispersed as well. There are limited writings from these disciples because they could not read or write. They were living in the present, expecting Jesus to return at any minute to usher in the kingdom of God, the beloved community on earth where all could live in love and justice. The other group teaching Christian thought was focused on the meaning of Jesus' death, and it came from the teachings of Paul, who had become a disciple only after Jesus died. His teaching focused on individual salvation and the promise of eternal life. Paul had never met the living Jesus, but had his own conversion experience. Because Paul could read and write, his letters to the various missionary churches that he'd established were some of the earliest writings of the emergent Christian faith. Paul's ministry was mainly to the non-Jewish middle class who spoke Greek and were steeped in Greek culture. Paul's version of Christianity survived because it was embedded in a culture that could read and write. The Gospels that came 20 to 50 years after Paul's writing also came out of Greek culture. Christianity took hold among the Gentiles, who became the inheritors of this faith. The church evolved significantly in these early years until the conversion of the Emperor Constantine made Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire. I wonder what Jesus would have thought about that. It's important for us to understand that this idea that Jesus was sent by God to die for our sins took almost 1,000 years to come to be the meaning of Easter. If we look at the first millennium of religious art, there are no images of Jesus in the cross. Those don't come into play until 11 or 1200. And yet, this is the message of Jesus that we have inherited. Marcus Borg says that the version of Jesus who died for our sins can lead to a passive life, one that doesn't see life as a process of spiritual transformation. Jesus has done what was needed to be done for our salvation, and we are good. I think for the Easter story to have power for us, we have to strip away the 2,000 years of theological mucking of Jesus' message. And I want to come back to the morning of the third day. The four Gospels each have a different telling of the resurrection story. In most, it was Mary Magdalene who was first to find out that the tomb was empty. Now, the tomb had been closed by a giant rock, so you can imagine her surprise when she came to anoint the body in preparation for burial, that the rock had been moved away and the tomb was empty. You can imagine her shock and dismay at finding the body gone, not understanding what could have happened. Jesus then appeared to her and spoke to her, as he did to the other disciples in various versions in the Gospels, sometimes walking along with them on the road as a stranger without them realizing that it was indeed their Lord and Master. They didn't even recognize him at first, but he would offer proof. He would say things that they knew were his words, or would look and see the stigmata on his hands. Of course they needed proof who he was. He'd been killed 3 days before. Jesus gives them a message to carry on his message throughout the land. "Feed my sheep," he tells them. No matter what you think about this story, and it is indeed a story, without the resurrection, there is no Easter, and there is likely no Christianity. Without the story of the resurrection, without the belief that Jesus lived on for his message, the story would end with this radical preacher annihilated by the Roman Empire. But we know that the story doesn't end there. Imagine for a minute what it would feel like to be one of his disciples. The last couple of days had been incredibly chaotic. They had all been with him when they came to arrest him, and several of his most important disciples betrayed him in the moment when Jesus needed him the most. They had not tried to protect him. They didn't feel like they could when the authorities came and took him away. And yet they had followed him for 3 years, given up everything that they had. I can imagine that they were filled with despair, demoralized, afraid. It's a powerful story that when they saw him again, they were able to believe in the power of his message and carry it forward. Do we need to know if this really happened in order for it to have power? When someone you love dies, don't you desperately want to see them again? Wouldn't you give anything to believe that they could come back? Their longing took shape. What matters about that morning is that they believed that Jesus was with them, not in some future world, not in the afterlife, but in that moment of their lives. And feeling his presence gave them the courage to continue his work. I find this an inspiring story. An inspiring story that is relevant for our lives today. And what I want to celebrate about Easter is that from the depths of despair and disillusionment, they were able to resurrect their commitment to the message of love and justice. They drew from his strength to find their own in a way that they were never able to do when he was alive. Because they believed, he lived on in them. And the power of Jesus' love and commitment was so strong that it lived on to inspire his followers and their followers and continue to inspire us today. I'm reminded this morning as well of another type of resurrection, churches rising from the ashes. And I'm not talking about Notre Dame. Notre Dame was a tragic event. But I'm talking about the black churches in Louisiana burned in an act of racial hatred. When money started being raised for Notre Dame, there were some voices that said, wait a minute, what about these churches in Louisiana? What about the devastation of those? And now a campaign for those three churches raised $2 million for their resurrection, for their rebuilding. An outpouring of money, but an outpouring of a statement of commitment to these churches that they again can rebuild and that they are important to us and that we value them and value the message that they share. This is the power of love alive in our world today. And this is the resurrection we need. A resurrection of this power of love in all of us. A resurrection of our commitment to justice. In a recent article in a liberal Christian magazine, our Unitarian Universalist Association president says that If religion is to survive, we must recover our prophetic zeal. We must recover our great historic mission and be the conscience of this country, never its tool. Jesus was the conscience of his times, never the tool, never the tool even unto his death. And there are some voices arising today who I feel are the seeds of a new revolution. Voices that speak the truth with the prophetic zeal, like Jesus did in his own day. We must not let them be silenced. Indeed, we must find our own voice to lend to theirs. This is the power of the Easter story. Jesus loved the world so much that he gave up his life rather than be silenced. Jesus loved the world so much that his message of the power of love and justice is present here for us today. Let us reclaim this true message of Jesus on this Easter day, the message that the power of love is strong enough to change the world, strong enough to cut through despair and fear and cynicism, the power that calls us to say, enough oppression, enough hate, enough inequality. We are ready for a new day. So may it be.